Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of your faces. If I haven't met you, my name is Cherie. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to continue us in our series, our Christmas series this week. And we always do this. The Hope City staff always does a Christmas series around in the month of December. And we've done all kinds of different things. This year, we really felt like God was leading us toward taking a deeper dive, a look into the perspectives, into the responses of the various people who encountered the angel Gabriel in the announcement of Jesus' birth. And last week, Pastor Paula kicked off our Christmas series talking about Zechariah and his encounter with the angel Gabriel. And she really just took us through how we can learn from Zechariah what to do with signs from God that are maybe a little less than ideal, that don't look or feel the way that we would want them to, or maybe have consequences that come with them that are not what we want them to be. But she also introduced us to this concept, and really have been kind of like stewing on it all week. And that concept that is, we're going to see it today, because it's really woven throughout this entire passage. And that's because it's woven throughout the entire Bible, if we were to really take a look at it. And that is the holiness of God. We sang some songs this morning that talks about the holiness of God. And Pastor Paula kind of took some time to point that out this week. I want you to be watching again this week for where we see that concept of the holiness of God in our passages. We're going to jump into Mary and Elizabeth and their experiences hearing about the good news of Jesus, and kind of the trickle down and what we can learn from these two women. As I was studying this and getting ready for it this week, I just got a new appreciation for how special this response from Mary and the response from Elizabeth are. And it caused me to really reflect on and think about, what would my response be if an angel appeared to me and gave me the news that he gave Mary? I would like to think that my response would be the same as Mary's. But I can't say for sure, because that's never happened to me. I would like to think that if this earth-shattering news that disrupted my entire life were to come to me and God was going to say, this is what I want you to do, I would love to think that I would have the same response as her. And I'm not quite sure that I would. I'm not sure yet. It's a prayer of mine. I'm like, Jesus, help me, because I want my response to be the same as hers. But let's just jump into this passage today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, I'll tell you right now, that would be my response. I know for sure. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I know that you have had this passage probably taught to you before. I know that people have probably told you the significance of Mary's response in this moment. Because getting pregnant outside of marriage at this time that this is happening is really, really different than getting pregnant outside of marriage today. This gift that God is bringing to Mary came with fear and uncertainty and probably some thoughts of Mary like all of the negative consequences that are going to come along with this. In scripture, we don't get a glimpse into the response of Mary's parents or her community or the people around her. I kind of wish we did because I would love to know. But I think it is safe to say that these people, because there's only a handful of people that Gabriel came to and gave this news to. He could have come to Mary's parents and said, hey, just so you know, this is happening. He could have gone to the people in the community and said, hey, heads up, don't give Mary a hard time. This is from me. But he didn't. And so there's a few select people who know for sure because Gabriel came and told them. And then the rest of everyone is just kind of left wondering. And it leads me to think that most likely their initial response when they learned that Mary was pregnant was not, oh yeah, I bet that's by the Holy Spirit, right? Their initial thought was probably not, oh yeah, that's probably the Son of God. Mary can say it all she wants. But the truth of the matter is, she's now surrounded by a community of people who have not gotten the same message from God that she did. And yet her response was, let it be done. God knew what he was doing when he hand chose Mary. Because her answer to Gabriel teaches us about our own faith. It teaches us about our own obedience. It teaches us about our own humility. Here's what Mary said. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. In this moment, Mary teaches us what humility looks like. In this moment, Mary teaches us what faith looks like. Her brain is probably reeling with all of the things that this news means. Her brain, she knows right away that this does not look good. And yet the response that flows out of her automatically is, I'm the Lord's servant. Yeah. This teaches us what obedience looks like. It teaches us what honor looks like. And these were qualities of Mary that God already knew about, right? God knew probably even better than Mary did these qualities that she possessed. He knew her faith. He knew her obedience. He knew her humility. He had hand-chosen Mary for this job, not based on her social status, not based on her wealth, not based on her esteem, but he picked her on what he knew about her. It was like God was thinking, man, that Mary, she is humble. She's obedient. I can trust her. Because God sees and he honors obedience and humility. Here's a heart check for you real quick. In the areas of humility and obedience, how are you doing? Are you creating a heart and a spirit where God is able to say, oh, I know them. They are obedient. They are humble. I know I can trust them with this. The words, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Those don't just spill out of a person naturally. When you get news that shatters and flips your whole world upside down, that response isn't something that just comes naturally out of you, unless it's something that you've been practicing and practicing and practicing. This response shows a history of Mary's humility. It shows a history of Mary's obedience to God. So that when he comes to her with the biggest ask that he's ever going to bring to her, she's able to say, let it be done to me. I'm your servant. She had practiced humility. She had practiced obedience. She had practiced being disciplined so that in that moment, in the face of a huge societal woe, she'd be able to say, let it be done. Let's keep reading in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Here's something that I want us to realize. We see in this passage that the moment that John is the baby that Elizabeth is carrying, the moment that that baby leapt inside of her, it said that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the great event in the Bible where God sent the Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us, that had not happened yet. Okay? So God poured out his Holy Spirit. That happened in Acts chapter 2, which was 30-something years before what we're experiencing right now. Okay? Jesus had lived. He had gone through his ministry. He had died. He had rose. He was ascended to heaven, and then God poured out the Holy Spirit. At this time that we're reading in this passage right now, the Holy Spirit was poured out on people for a specific purpose. It was in order to carry out a specific task that God had for them, and he knew that they would need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do that. So John, who's in Elizabeth's womb at this point, we know that he is filled with the Holy Spirit in order to carry out the purpose of preparing the way for Jesus, right? Prophecies had told that that would happen. Gabriel had come to Zechariah, and he had said specifically to Zechariah that John would have the spirit and the power of Elijah, right? Full of the Holy Spirit, still in his mother's womb, John leaps, which causes Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But for what purpose? Why do we see Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit? The next few verses lay it out for us. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. And your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Here's some things that I want us to notice about this. This passage says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said these things as soon as Mary greeted her, right? So Mary hadn't even had the chance to sit down and say, "You're never gonna guess what happened," right? All that she said was hello. All she did was walk in the room. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and says this. The purpose of the Holy Spirit's filling of Elizabeth was to produce a faith in her. As soon as the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth, immediately a faith was birthed inside of her, and she was able to proclaim or prophesy things that she didn't even know yet. Things that Mary hadn't even been able to tell her started pouring out of her as a way to build her own faith and to build Mary's faith, right? Because she had just gotten the same message. I'm sure Mary's sitting there going, "I haven't even told you this yet." Do you see the trickle-down effect we're seeing from the work of the Holy Spirit? Even from the womb, John started his ministry. I'm going to say that one more time. Even from the womb, John started his ministry. The Holy Spirit worked through John to fill Elizabeth and produce a faith inside of her that poured out of Elizabeth as she prophesied everything that was happening. And then the response of Mary shows another trickle down of Holy Spirit. We're going to see in just a second Mary's response to Elizabeth, but I want us to understand that that is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit produces a faith inside of us that enables us to then proclaim things, to say things, to walk in a power that is not our own. That we're going to know things and we're going to be able to say things that the Holy Spirit reveals that isn't even our own thinking. But the Holy Spirit wasn't done yet. It produced a response inside of Mary that just like gushed out of her. This next passage that we're going to read is famously referred to as the Magnificat, or Mary's song. And what is so special about this is that it is a praise that just flows out of Mary as a response to Elizabeth's words. Let's keep reading. Starting in verse 46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Then Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Mary's immediate response to the work of the Holy Spirit was praise. Immediately, something came out of her, spilled out of her, before she even knew for sure that she was pregnant. Not when she was finally, when she gave birth to Jesus and was finally able to see him, right? Not when she started to show and it was clear that she was really indeed pregnant. All that she had to hang on to at this point were the words of Gabriel and the prophecy that Elizabeth had given. Immediately, her faith was so great that she burst into praise before her eyes could even see the miracle that had happened. And again, Mary teaches us a lesson that how we respond to God should be to praise him even before the work is finished. So many times we wait to see God work and then thank him for it. We need something in our life and we pray and we pray and we pray, and then we sit back and we wait and we wait and we wait and to see if God is going to answer us or not, to see if he's going to come through. What Mary teaches us in this moment is that as soon as we pray, as soon as God shows up, as soon as we bring something to him, immediately our response should be to praise. Before we see him working, before we can tell if he's going to answer or not. Why? Because we know the history of God. We don't need him to prove it to us. We don't need him to show us that he's starting to work before we can believe it, because we have an entire history to point back to that shows that God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be forever. We don't need God. We don't need to wait around for God to show that he is faithful. We know that he is faithful. We have seen his faithfulness. You have seen his faithfulness in your life. Mary teaches us that we shouldn't wait back and see if God is going to move or if he's not, if he's going to answer prayer or if he's not. Immediately, we should burst into praise just because of who God is. Just because of the history that we've seen. Just because we know that he is faithful and that he is holy. Mary teaches us that faith looks like praising before the work is finished. We praise him as a faith response that he's already working. So where are you at today? What do you need in your life that Mary and Elizabeth showed us in this passage? Maybe you're not living a life that's submitted to God at all. Maybe you're in the driver's seat of your own life. You're making all the decisions. You're the leader. That you're not submitted to God at all. And maybe that's something that God's tugging on your heart this morning. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want to be the leader of your life. I want to be in that number one spot. I want to lead and I want you to follow. See, that's a process. It's a process that could start today. Today you could say, yes, God, I want to give you my whole life. I want you to be in the driver's seat. But then it doesn't stop today, because tomorrow you still have to choose to let God be in control. And the next day you still have to choose to let God be in control. And when that news comes of something that totally rocks you and you want to take back control of your own life, you still have to let God be in control. That's what relationship with him looks like. And if that's something that you want to say yes to this morning, if you want to say yes to relationship with Jesus, will you just raise up your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. People are clapping and they're cheering because they made that same decision at one point. And they know that it was the best decision that they ever made. They know what that decision has meant for them in their life. Their whole life changed after that. After letting God be in control of their life, everything else changed. Maybe I'm going to invite everyone to stand up. Maybe there was a different part of the passage today that stood out to you. Maybe when you saw the faith and the humility and the obedience of Mary, maybe you got a little tug in your heart that said, oh, I need more humility. I need to be more obedient to God. Maybe you recognize that you don't praise God before he answers. Maybe when we read about Mary's song, you were like, yeah, I'm waiting right now. I've been praying and praying, and I'm waiting for God to show up. And I haven't once praised him. I haven't once acted like he's already working. Maybe you read about the power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on Elizabeth and the faith that came out of her as a result of that. And you're like, I need that kind of faith. I'm going to pray over everyone in this room this morning. And if this is something that you're like, yeah, there's something in this message that I need more of, will you just put out your hands as a way of showing God that, like, God, I'm in a receiving, my hands are in a receiving symbol, showing him that you're open to whatever it is that he might have for you. God, you see every hand in this place, every person who's responding to you and saying, God, I need more of you. God, maybe it's pride that's an issue. And people are saying, I need more humility. I need to be more obedient to God's voice in my life. God, maybe it's a lack of gratitude, a lack of praise. Maybe we're sitting around idly waiting for you to show up and you're saying, I'm waiting for you to praise me like I already did it. God, maybe there's people in this room that are saying, I need that faith that comes from only the Holy Spirit. I need that power that only the Holy Spirit can give. God, will you show up? Holy Spirit, will you pour out your power and your faith? Will you ignite us to do what we were called to do, what we were born to do? Jesus, you said, when you gave us the Holy Spirit, you said that it would come and it would empower us to do what you've called us to do, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. So God, will you give us the boldness of your Holy Spirit? Will you give us the faith that only Holy Spirit can produce? We just want more of you. God, go with each person today. Bring us back next week. Help us to experience you. Help us to be accurate representations of you everywhere we go this week, whether it be in the workplace or in school, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. God, help us to display you everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.